Welcome to LiveWire, to Gateway Weekly Podcast, where you hear the latest messages and sermons fresh from the Sunday service. This edition of LiveWire has been brought to you by Gateway Community Church, reaching people, transforming lives.
Another awesome Sunday it is, and what do you know? It's the last Sunday of the year, and come next Sunday, it will be January. However, you know, it's very good to perhaps recap, you know, what has been transpiring in the last couple of months and weeks and, you know, the journey thus far that we have been to. But I would say that in spite of the many different things that has happened to us thus far, I think it's but fitting to know that it's time for us at the same time to articulate. Or ito po yung magandang panahon para ating pong bisitahin muli, you know, to revisit. Really, you know, why we are here and what the Lord has called us to do thus far. So before we continue on and I'll share to you my final message for 2020, I'd like to kind of invite you to a word of prayer so that together we can dedicate this time unto the Lord. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, we would like to thank you. Maraming salamat, Panginoon, sa pag-aataong ito na ipinagkaloob mo sa amin. At nagpapasalamat kami sa biyaya mong nag-uumapaw sa mga nagdaang araw at linggo o buwan sa Lord God taong ito. And we would just like to honor you and as we continue to reminisce and at the same time continue to revisit what it is that's most important in our lives, I pray that you would allow your Holy Spirit to just be at work in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. So today as we continue on and talk about the beauty and the wonder of God's favor and grace and love that is greatly overflowing, I'd like to recap everything that we have learned thus far as I've said kanina. Balikan po natin at talagang sumatotalin natin kung bakit nga ba tayo, okay, nagdadaan sa ganitong mga pagkakataon. At, you know, we have just celebrated Christmas and I hope that you have had a wonderful time with your family. But I think as we continue to look forward to the year that is ahead, perhaps it's best that we revisit the very essence, you know, of God's love and the importance of sharing that love and probably baunin po natin yung mensahe ng pag-ibig ng Diyos para sa darating na taon. So as we continue on, I'd like to kind of present to you one of perhaps the powerful or most powerful declarations that we would see, you know, found in the book of Matthew, wherein the Lord himself kind of passing through Jerusalem, you know, he had this clench in the heart. And the Bible said this, seeing the people, he felt compassion for them because they were distressed and dispirited like sheep without shepherd. And as you continue on to read along, you would begin to realize that the very heart of the Lord, you know, is for the people, especially for those of us that are distressed. Now, distress is a very powerful description of, a person who is discouraged or a person who is going through a lot or has gone through a lot and is pretty much in need of help. And that is exactly how the Lord sees us or saw us for the most part of it. Nakita po niya ang kakulangan o ang ating pong kawalan ng kakayanan para mapagtagumpayan kung tayo lang, perhaps it's not enough. And I know it's never gonna be enough. But as we continue on with this particular passage of Scripture, we begin to realize that for every individual that goes through a particular, you know, season of lull or a season of dryness or a season of frustration or stress, or for the most part of it, distress, we would see that there's just this clench in the heart. Meron po yung kurot sa puso natin, no? Yung may mga pangamba, may mga pag-aalinlangan, at yung ito po yung, you know, have you ever been in a situation na napabuntong hininga ka na lang? That, you know, with a sigh, with a deep sigh, and it's not just a sigh of relief perhaps, but a sigh of uncertainty, you know, a sign of being in a situation that's ambiguous, a situation that is undefined or uncertain. Well, ang tawag ko po dito is at times the Lord would put us in a holy discomfort. Okay, and not necessarily to harm us, but to allow us to reevaluate the things that we have gone through and perhaps the things that we are yet to go through. You know, and I think it's but natural sometimes that God would allow that particular angst, okay, that is never pacified. Kung baga meron parang may uhaw tayo, no? There's that certain longing in our hearts that in spite of, you know, going through the day that we're going through, you know, probably even surviving it or at best even thriving, but at the end of the day, meron pa rin tayong pang, kumbaga, there's still that sense of longingness. There's still that sense of you know, anxiety within. Not necessarily because of the, you know, situation that's not favorable, but meron po tayong, kumbaga, inaasam-asam. You know, it springs from deep within us, deep within our spirit, and this particular thing is actually a longing that's not necessarily quenched by physical, okay, things that's around us, but more so, is quenched by the spirit. Okay, so as we continue on with that particular thought in mind, I remember this this thought that, I mean, a phrase, or shall we just say a quote altogether, you know, by Andrew Murray, wherein he kind of said this: there is a need of great revival of spiritual life, of truly fervent devotion to our Lord Jesus, of entire consecration, or, you know, of His service. It is only in a church in which this spirit of revival has at least begun. And this particular idea that Andrew Murray is presenting is very true. Na ang totoo pong, you know, when we talk about the word revival, you have to understand the very root meaning of the word revival is to bring something that is dead back to life. It's synonymous to the word resurgence. Okay, after a period of lull or decay or a period of stagnancy, then there's suddenly a coming back to life. Okay, a coming back to a state wherein one is, you know, formerly or thing or something or someone that's formerly dead coming back to life. And I think, you know, the year that has been, okay, or in a couple of days, the year that will be, 2020, is a period of a ditch or a detour. It's kind of a dip. I remember Craig Rochelle talk about, you know, that particular scenario, and he calls it the dip. Okay, minsan sa ating mga paglalakbay, meron pong mga potholes, may mga, kumbaga, may mga detour tayong pagdadaanan, at, you know, you have to understand that it's normal to go through the dip, but yet, realize that you cannot stay there. You have to either push forward, okay, or remain there for the detriment of oneself. Now, I remember, however, that, you know, people with a mission, people with a purpose, people that are passionate about their God-given calling, especially so, are never hampered, are never hindered, are never stopped. They with resilience and patience and perseverance, you know, push forward in spite of a certain lull or dip in their lives. Okay, and I'd like to kind of share with you a scripture that probably may not be perceived as fitting for closing this year, but this is one thing that kind of encouraged me. You know, I remember the woman that Jesus met, okay, on the well, okay? Na sabi po dito that, you know, after a while, sabi niya, many of the Samaritan from that town believe in Him because of the woman's testimony. Okay? Isang nayon or isang community, okay, came to believe on the Lord, not because they met the Lord personally, but because of this person's testimony. And sabi niya, and He told me everything I ever did. I mean, this is the quote from the Samaritan woman. And so, when the Samaritan came to Him, they urged Him to stay with them. And He stayed 2 days. And because of His work, many more became believers. Nakikita po natin dito na, you know, I think this is a reminder for all of us. Probably, you know, a lot of people are looking at us during this pandemic time or this year that has been in, and they're staring at us, or not necessarily staring, but they're watching us. You know, how are Christians like when they are going through the dip? How are Christians like when they are going through frustrations or struggles or times of lull in their life? Okay, alam niyo po ba na ang pinakamaganda at pinaka-powerful na mensahe natin sa ating pong, okay, community or sa ating pong ginagalawa na hindi lamang po yung mga salitang patuloy nating sinasambit, but I think our greatest testimony is our lives. Now, understand this. Before, I'd like to believe this, and I've learned this, you know, quite a, you know, some time ago. I heard from one person, na sabi niya, people will first read your life before they will even read your Bible. So, dito po sa pagkataon na to, gusto ko pong kinda, you know, I'd like to invite you to have this in mind, okay? That during this time of lull, we can either be an innovator, a reformist, or kumbaga dito is a pessimist. Okay, a lot of people that I've met recently are talking about, you know, how unfortunate this year has been, how this thing has been constantly, you know, kind of a struggle, and how hard the year has been. On the contrary, you know, I have heard and I've met people who are very optimistic of the opportunities that's presented by this difficult situation. Now, for a short moment, I'd like to take you to, you know, a word called, you know, or simply the word radical, okay, which is actually more of a noun. Now, when we know that when it's a noun, you know, it's not simply indicative or descriptive of an action, but more so when you say a radical, it's a state, it's a person. Kalalagayan po ito, a person who advocates through a complete political or social, okay, makikita po natin dito, isang pagkataon na reformation or reform, a person who advocates reform. Ito po yung mga nakakakitaan natin ng, kumbaga, sila yung mga, how do we call them? Jet setters. They are the innovators, the pioneers of something, you know, that kind of pave way to a whole new era, okay, of discovery or at best, okay, improvement, okay, or advancement. Now, sa pagkakataong pong ito, when I talk about the word reform, okay, realize one thing. It is someone who advocates change. Okay, when we talk about change, especially in terms of institution, you know, it is actually more in the context of improving a certain state. Okay, ito po yung pagkakaroon po ng pagkakataon para maayos ang isang kinalalagyan or, you know, to improve something that has kind of been ruined altogether. Now, that is the very essence of the good news. That is the very essence of what we have talked about in terms of Christmas. That's the very essence of why Jesus came. It's not only to bring us, okay, salvation and forgiveness and grace, but more so to give us an opportunity for transformation and, for the most part of this, an opportunity of reformation para po makakita tayo ng tunay na pagbabago. Okay, so as we continue to look forward to the year that is ahead, okay, I think it's but fitting to kind of reevaluate this year. How has it been? Okay, it may be difficult to many of us. Was it, you know, simply a time of difficulty or struggle and distress? Or perhaps it has been an opportunity for discovery and innovation and perhaps even advancement, you know, to many of us. So as we kind of look further, some time ago, Billy Graham, you know, back in the day, was asked, okay, and he was asked one thing: is there hope for the human race or for the community around us? And this is his very words. He said this: everywhere I go, I find that people, both leaders and individuals, are asking one basic question: is there hope for peace and order in our generation? And he simply said, the answer is yes. Hope does not rest in the affairs, you know, that is handled by man, but rather it rests, you know, on the power of the Lord. It rests in Christ, who is King of Kings. Now, that's a very powerful statement. It rests on Christ, okay? The Anointed One, Christ, who is King of Kings. And that may sound very spiritual, but I'd like to just say in passing, it may be sounding religious or spiritual altogether, you know, but no, it's more realistic in truth. Because in times when we are out of control and the world around us is going haywire, na kung saan lahat po ng pinagdadaanan natin ay kumbaga hindi na po natin kayang pangasiwaan, I'd like to believe that that is a good signal or indication that we need a savior. We need someone who can put things back into order. And that's, of course, none other than in the person of Jesus himself. Now, even John Wesley, okay, said this. Unless God has raised you up for this very thing, okay, you will be worn out by the opposition of men and devils. But if God be for you, who can be against you? Are all of them together stronger than God? Okay? No. Oh, be not weary of well-doing. Now, I love this because this is probably a reinterpretation, you know, kind of a reinstatement or restatement, I should say, for the correct use of the word. Ito po ay parang sinabi ni John Wesley. And of course, this is the very same statement of Paul when he said that if God is for us, who can be against it? But more so, like his letters to the Galatians when he said, do not be weary of doing well. Because alam niyo po, pag tayo nagdadaan tayo sa mga panahon ng pagsubok, sa panahon ng scarcity, sa panahon ng kawalan, at sa panahon ng pandemya, kagaya ng taon na nagdaan o magdadaan, you know, we kind of gravitate towards self-preservation or survival, and nakakalimutan po natin na we are still ministers of the gospel. And we kind of, you know, more on looking into ourselves on how we can survive or go through such a particular ordeal. But more so, let me tell you this, in times of difficulty, in times of struggles, this is but an opportunity, a good opportunity for us to share the gospel of the Lord, not merely with words, but more with our actions. So as we continue on further, I'd like to kind of highlight a couple of things, you know, going back to the testimony of the woman. Why did Jesus, okay, kind of commended the woman, you know, in saying that, hey, okay, that a lot more people, okay, as described by John, came to know the Lord because of the testament of the woman. And it begins with simply, number one, going back and understanding a particular definite purpose. That may sound redundant, you know, because I already said particular, you know, indicative of that thing, and say definite. No, the moment a person begins to understand, okay, the very calling and purpose he has in life, it begins to make sense. Makikita po natin that clarity and objective, okay, make one's cause a meaningful and worthwhile pursuit. Nagkakaroon po ng saysay, nagkakaroon po ng mainam na dahilan kung bakit kinakailangan nating lalong magpatuloy sa kabila ng ating mga pinagdadaanan. Because for the most part of this, look at this particular statement, okay? Many of them, okay, or rather many of the Samaritans, okay, from the town believed in him, okay, because of the woman's testimony. Nakikita po natin na, alam nyo, for the most part of it, people have not probably heard of the Lord, or maybe, you know, for the worst part of it, probably they have not really, I mean, probably it will be the first time for them to hear about the love of God or who Jesus is and why he came. Okay? And if ever you encounter a person who is clueless about that particular beautiful gospel message, you know, before they would even probably embrace that particular truth, they would have to weigh whether your message is consistent with your walk. In fact, a lot of people are attracted to Christianity not because of the teachings of Christianity or the very scriptures that we uphold. You have to understand that even in the early times, okay, you know, many came to believe not simply because of theology, not simply because of the gospel, but because of the very lives and the testimonies of the people who advocate them. They embrace Christianity not because of the message simply, but because of the very, okay, testimony of the people that represents Christianity. On the contrary, it is sad to note that I remember a couple of years back, Mahatma Gandhi himself, you know, was curious about Christianity, and he has even the idea that perhaps, he said, Christianity is the solution to the division and the caste system, you know, that's plaguing India back in the day. And He came and had this desire to study Christianity until he ended up in one church, local church, dressed up with his customary Indian, you know, outfit. He went to attend and discover what Christianity is all about, only to be greeted by, you know, an usher who said, "Where are you going?" And Gandhi said, "I'd like to join the church." And the usher, you know, said, "But I'm sorry, sir, this is a Christian church. Perhaps you would like to go down the road and there's, you know, a Hindu church there." And Gandhi, in his disappointment, went on to simply comment, "I would have been a Christian if not for Christians. I like Christ and his teachings, but I do not appreciate Christians." Alam nyo, minsan, ang talagang huwaran po ng mensahe na ihinatid natin, it's not the beautiful facilities that we have. It's not the fancy worship services probably that we have. And I'm not saying altogether it's not good. It's good. But you have to understand, real Christian, okay, value is all about love and acceptance. It's inclusive, not exclusive. You know, it's the love that we share. It's our forgiving, gracious, gentle spirit that will win this restless and volatile world. The real message of the gospel is not simply written in pen and ink. The greatest message of the gospel is you and I. And before the people would really, really embrace the very teachings that we share, they will have to first embrace who we are. So kung titingnan po natin, you know, as we kind of climax this year altogether, I'd like to encourage you that, you know, we need to come to terms with the truth. And the distinct truth is this: the authenticity of one's claim is not decided simply by his confession, but by his actions, okay? By his very representation, the act of conviction that is more so prompted by the Spirit and led, okay, by the truth. So kung titingnan po natin, as we continue to leave out the value of Scripture, as we continue to leave out the truth of Scripture, you begin to realize that life is short. Okay? Make it count. Okay? Huwag po nating sayangin ang bawat pagkakataon, ang bawat panahon. I remember, you know, I came across a particular story. I think, if I'm not mistaken, it's one of the book of Cesar Castellanos back in the day. And he was talking about when he was a younger minister and he is so, you know, kind of schooled in some certain things. And he went to a Bible study. And then there was a lady that was asking a lot of questions. And man, young as he is, he was like dogmatic and he was, you know, debating with this woman, and I mean it felt good, as he said, because that day he proved himself to be right. And he was able to kind of just reproof the woman. But at the end of the day, he realized, okay, that there are some times that it's better to lose a battle and win a person rather than, you know, simply win the battle and lose a person. Ano ko pong ibig kong sabihin? You have to understand that, hey, sometimes we have to be gentle. We have to be gracious. We have to be merciful. And make people, okay, we have to have that act of kindness, that act of gentleness to gently kind of present to them the gospel, okay? And maybe at times we will be rejected and ridiculed, but come on. You have to understand, it's not arguing that wins the argument. It's grace and the mercy that comes from the Spirit that wins this world. The Lord conquered this world not with arguments. He conquered this world with His love. So the life we live will be the story we tell. Okay? Your greatest message, and this may sound redundant already, your greatest message is your life. Your greatest message is your love. Your greatest message is your testimony and how you are able to, you know, kind of reach those that are on top and also reach those that are beneath. So, as we continue on with this particular message, let me kind of drive that some more. that it's not our argument that wins our battle, but it is our testimonies that seals it. So, kung titingnan po natin, mga kapatid sa Panginoon, one thing that we need to understand, and, you know, it is our intent and not simply content that creates respect. Okay? At the end of the day, maybe we may have the right content and we may debate and win the debate at the same time, and that's good. But you have to understand, sometimes it's love that conquers the hearts of people. Not just simply the arguments that we bring. Candor and honesty changes people's reaction and behavior. You know, sometimes people are looking for people that can simply reach out to them with all honesty and candor, and at the same time reach them with the opportunity to just be themselves, and knowing that they are in an environment that is not critical but rather loving and understanding. Don't get me wrong, it's not about compromising and tolerating people, but more, it is more so operating in grace. Because realize this, I remember Jesus himself has said this, that to him that loves much are those that are forgiven much. If you know how much you have been forgiven, you will realize that it's more important to just be forgiving as well and be accepting and not be critical. When I was a younger minister, I am so idealistic, and you know, I am so hard and tough on many different things, particularly in ministry, in doctrine, and alike. And you have to understand that sometimes people, you know, may not necessarily appreciate the toughness that we have, may not necessarily appreciate, you know, the rigidness of the doctrine that we present. Though it may be true, I'm not saying it's wrong. But sometimes the greatest thing that will win this world is not the tough message that we bring, but the love and motive and the intention that we have. So kung titingnan po natin, mga kapatid sa Panginoon, I remember a couple of years back, it was Steve Jobs who says this, that you have to have a lot of passion for what you are doing, because it's hard if you don't. Okay, any rational person, okay, would give up. Now, if you do not understand the message that you're presenting as a believer per se, you know, in relation to that particular quote, you know, and you do not know how much God loves you, and you have not totally understood that love, you know, it will be perhaps possible for you to know the Bible and the contents therein, but if you have not really come to terms with the truth that it's more about the love of God presented, you know, to men, okay, and how this love is constantly pushing us forward, if that is not the one that's motivating you, then you would simply give up. Now, kung titignan po natin sa abilang banda, napakahalaga that we have a dynamic passion. I love the word dynamic, because when you say dynamic, it's just like the working of the Holy Spirit, you know. This is actually, you know, almost similar to that word that describes the Spirit. It's dunamos, it's self-inherent, meaning it does not borrow from a source, rather it is the source. When you talk about a dynamic passion, you know, you cannot just simply borrow passion from another person. You cannot simply, you know, borrow fire from your pastor, or borrow fire from, you know, an evangelist that you kind of like a lot, or from a preacher that you continuously follow in the internet. You cannot borrow something, okay? Because after all, at the end of the day, if it's not inherent, it will die down. Pag nanghiram ka po, alam nyo, you have to understand, there's one thing about borrowing. If you borrow something, you know that at some point, you need to return it. No? Minsan, sino po sa atin yung mga, may mga pinahiraman na hindi na ibinalik sa atin. When you talk about something that's borrowed, meaning it is not permanent, it is temporary. But when you say dynamic, it's present, it's alive, it's inherent, it kind of lasts. So passionate people, know not only those that are in the Bible like Wesley or Ulrich Zwingli and the many, you know, kind of revivalists, Jonathan Edwards of the Great Awakening and the likes, from the classics to, you know, the modern day times, you know, from preachers, great preachers like Billy Graham, and, you know, present day preachers today that are encouraging and has a great following. Praise God for the lives. But you cannot borrow from them. Maybe in a sense you can, but to take something that's theirs, you know, that's quite improbable and impossible. You have to understand that it is the Spirit who gives you the dynamism. It is the Spirit that gives you life. It is the Spirit that kind of propels you to go on. So you cannot borrow passion. Okay? Passion has to be yours. Whether it's in arts and music, whether it's in the field of discovery or science, or in our case, okay, the sharing of the gospel, the sharing of the Lord's love. Okay, the gospel is not only missional, but it's transformational. You know, it ignites a fiery desire on those that receives it. And if you go back to the story of the woman on the well that met Jesus, she began to understand that, man, this is something that, you know, he stumbled on Jesus on that, you know, regular day in the middle of the day. It's hot and unexpectedly he stumbled on the Lord. Or she, rather, I should say, stumbled on the Lord and met Jesus, and her life changed forever. It was not only a regular acquaintance, it was a transformational acquaintance. Look at this. She came to the well to draw water. That was the priority. That was the agenda of the day. Nandun po siya, dala-dala niya yung kanyang, okay, tapayan o sisidlan para sumalok ng tubig. And when she met Jesus, everything changed. Now, look at this change of priority. The Bible said, then leaving her water jar. Now, to begin with, she came with the jar for a purpose. And what was that? To draw water. That was the cycle of the day. And sometimes God will just meet you on an unexpected moment. Okay? Okay, not to disturb simply your regular cycle, but to give you a life-changing opportunity. And the woman, sabi dito, went back to the town and said, you know, to the people, I have met the man, I have met the Messiah, you know, and look at that. Friends, alam nyo, when the Lord gives you an opportunity, when the Lord gives you that particular, you know, great thing, okay, I can assure you, yung mga tao po na nakakaunawa ng panawagan ng Diyos, yung mga talagang tumalima sa panawagan ng Diyos, I mean, you don't need to convince them because they're willing to give up everything. They're willing to give up their agenda for the day to make sure that whatever that is that God has entrusted for the day will be accomplished. So, as we continue on, it's all about a resolute stand. Anong ibig sabihin nito? Radical change warriors are never talked out of the cause. Kung totoo po tayong mga mananampalataya, pandemic or not, okay, hardships or not, struggles or plenty, we will never be talked out. We know what is important. We will still do church. We'll find a way. And thank God, because our church, you know, has not given up. Yes, we may be restricted in terms of physical gathering or in-person gathering. You know, we have not met formally as a church since the lockdown began. And it's been almost a year now. But we continued on. We continued on. We're doing church in small scale of threes and fours or five people at the most. Okay? And we're meeting in many different places, and we have one, you know, plenary gathering together, you know, in an online service such as this. But we have not stopped because we know our message. We know, you know, if we cannot be stopped, because it's the Spirit of God who is in us that keeps us going. Okay? People that know their purpose, they are not talked out. They are, in fact, even on the contrary, contagious. No, pag sila pinigilan mo, lalo silang kakalat, lalo silang dadami. Okay? Because for the most part of it, you know that you know. You know your message. You know who Jesus is in you. Okay? The Jesus who is in you is the one working in you. And look at this, change may not always be an acceptable alternative. Like, I mean, at first we were a little bit reluctant to totally go into a full online service. Okay, but it's not always acceptable. But nonetheless, one must, okay, persevere to bring real change. Kung gusto talaga natin magdala o maghatid ng tunduong pagbabago, dapat hindi tayo napapapigil. We are not easily talked out. If one thing doesn't work, we are restrained like today, we'll find other ways. But rest assured, we will share the gospel. Rest assured, we will herald the good news. Secondly, you know, it takes a lot of dedication. Okay? I will not deny that at some point I was discouraged. At some point I was frustrated. But let me say this, one thing that did not falter is my dedication in serving, my dedication in constantly just preaching on the message. Because at the end of the day, you know, it's all about a completed task. And the completed task is not me that completes it. It's the completed task that was accomplished by Jesus. Okay, an affirmative commendation is the result of a consistent life. Okay, it's witness and it's assimilation. Realize this, an affirmative attitude is someone who is constantly dedicated to serve. We no longer believe just because of what you said, okay? The people said to the Samaritan woman, but rather for, you know, that particular sense of urgency that they saw, the excitement of the Samaritan woman, and they know who she was. Everybody knew her in the city. Okay. In fact, that particular scenario was very, very cultural in a sense that you would notice that customarily people would draw water early in the morning, right? Because water is a very important commodity back in the day. But you have to understand, during those times, there was this kind of, a distinction or a division between the Jews and the Samaritan, and the customarily, you know, the Samaritan are outcasts. They are second-class citizens in that particular setting. So, you know, the Jews would regularly gather their water early in the morning, and that's why the woman would gather her water in the middle of the day, because she wouldn't want to interact with the Jews, because the Jews would treat them like dogs. You know, that was the expression back in the day. The Jews would not like to associate with the Samaritans, so the Samaritans would be, you know, the ones that would draw or, you know, come to the well when the Jews have done so. And so that was in the middle of the day, because that's the time when the Jewish people would not gather water, so the well would be free, and that's the time the Samaritans would come and draw. That's why the woman is coming. But look at this, when the Samaritan woman, you know, realized who Jesus was, she doesn't care. She went back to the town and shared to everyone. And as a result, many believed. You cannot make, okay, your incapacities or your inconsistencies as an excuse. Hindi natin pwede pong sabihin na, I'm nobody. Hindi natin pwede sabihin, I'm just this person. Because the moment God chooses to use you, He will use you. Not in the merits of what, or in, you know, in the qualifications that you have. Not on those merits, but He would use you based on His particular divine appointment. I remember this particular statement that says, God does not, okay, call the qualified, but rather He qualifies the called. Okay? Hindi po tayo tinawag ng Panginoon on the basis of what we can do. Simply on our own strength. He calls us because He saw us, okay, as an integral and vital part of His plan. And if He chooses to do so, He can use you, okay? Caution, however, that the drift of life is towards comfort and safety. One can either choose to live small or great. Now, you can be comfortable and still live small. Or you can decide to be uncomfortable and sacrifice a great deal, but leave behind a powerful and significant legacy. Friends in the Lord, it's not he that dies with the most toys that wins. It is he that dies with the most influence that wins. Back in the day, a couple of years back, back in 2013, I came across this quote, in the Global Leadership Summit, where it says, "You're a leader, Okay? And it's your job to keep your passion hot. Do whatever you have to do. Read whatever you have to read. Go wherever you have to go to stay fired up. I know that this pandemic probably has slowed down a lot of us, has discouraged a lot of us. But you, as a leader, you as a Christian, you are called to be salt and light. You are called to be the catalyst of this world. So as we end this year, think again. You can allow this year to slow you down, or you can allow this year to encourage you and inspire you to be fired up for the coming year. Friends in the Lord, understand one thing, okay? That hard-fought leadership, and you know, we Christians, we're called to lead through this dark world. You are a leader in your own right. You're either a leader in your family, you're a leader in your group, you're a leader in your church, or wherever you are a leader. But Pastor, there's nobody following me. Well, you are a leader of yourself. You lead yourself. You lead yourself to what is right, encouraging, you know, and fruitful. And look at this. Hard-fought leadership works for the grander vision, sacrifices and works with passion, and leaves something beautiful behind. This year may be difficult. But why don't we leave, you know, this year with something beautiful? Okay, not just leave this year and say with a sigh, "Ay, salamat, natapos din ang 2020. No, don't just leave it. Learn from it. Okay? And allow others to see your great influence. So as we climax, I'd like to kind of encourage you. You know, as we end this year, as we enter the new year, what is God leading you to conquer? Something seemingly impossible? This year, nobody expected this year, but you know what? Congratulations, you survived. You survived this year. And if you survive this year, I guarantee with God's grace, you will survive 2021. So, square your shoulders. Lift up your chin. Look up to heavens and say, "God, thank you. I survived." But don't just settle to survive. Decide to thrive. You know, I've lost so much this year, but I have gained so much values, and I will push on to the next year knowing that there is something beautiful ahead. Friends, what is God prompting you to do? What is God encouraging you to do? Listen to that small, soft voice and be encouraged, and allow yourself to be a salt and light, a catalyst, a radical herald for change. God bless you. Let us pray. Father, thank you for this beautiful message. And just like the Samaritan woman, allow us not to simply, Lord, be slowed down by the misfortunes of life. Just like the Samaritan woman, we may be, this Lord God, rejected by the society, but just the same, Lord God, in you we are accepted. So as we end this year, I pray that you would just allow your Holy Spirit, Lord God, to inspire us to press on to the next year. Leave behind the hurts, leave behind the frustrations, and to strive forward to what is ahead, the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for this beautiful Sunday. And we give you blessing and glory and thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Friends, I wish you the best of the new year and the exciting and the abundance of the coming year. Blessed Sunday to all of you. God bless.
That is today's edition of Live Wire. Now, if you want to catch the next episode live and fresh. Tune in on our online Sunday services. You can catch us on Facebook at 10 a.m., 3 p.m., and 6 p.m. on Sundays, Philippine Standard Time. Or you can also check us out on YouTube, where you can watch that particular episode. Now, we will see you again on the next one. And this LiveWire episode is brought to you by Gateway Community Church, reaching people, transforming lives.